with the fragrance of the Buddha. He who discovered that profound truth, which is difficult to perceive, difficult to understand. Then he explained that it's your desire, your craving. And that's how you are creating your own future. So if you are unconscious, which is very easy to do, then there will be not much change, not much growth in life. Because you're going, following your desires, your instincts, your mind, which will always go in a circle. So it seems that a lot is happening, but not much is happening. Because it's on the same level, just going in a circle. So that is important to understand, that you are making your own future. You are creating your own life. So if there's anything in your life you don't like, you can look at it. Everything changes when you change. And what is the end of suffering? It is the completely falling away of this desire and craving. It is the liberation and detachment from the desires, the extinction of greed and hate, of delusion. This is called freedom. And for a disciple who has thus been freed, in whose heart dwells peace, there is nothing to be added and nothing to remains to do. No, there comes a point where you have cleansed yourself and you are in tune and you are not run by your lower instincts. Then it's something else that takes over, which I can call anti-gravity. If you are unconscious, you always pull down to the lower, because that is the easiest. You don't need to be aware. You don't need to look at yourself. Your attention is on the outside. So very hard it is to come back, to look at yourself, to purify yourself, to take responsibility over yourself. When that is done and there is peace, that means you are empty of these thoughts. You are not the slave of your mind. You have become your own master. You are untouched. When that is done, there is nothing more to do, nothing more to be done. Just as a mountain remains unshaken by the wind, so even no forms, no sounds, no nothing from the outside of any kind can cause such a disciple to waver. One has become steady in oneself, happy. So it also means, now you have found something in yourself that is much better than anything that you were longing for on the outside. That doesn't mean that things stop on the outside. Things goes on, but your focus is not on that. You know your center. One who has considered and understood all the contrast of this earth and is no more disturbed by anything whatever in this world, that is the peaceful one, free from any rage and anger, from sorrow and from longing, for desiring. He has passed beyond birth and death. That is called the peaceful one, because he lives in peace. He is undisturbed. You cannot be peaceful if you get disturbed by any little thing. This I call neither coming nor going away, neither standing still, nor being born, nor dying. This is the end of suffering. This is the purpose of the holy life. It does not consist of asking for alms, begging. It does not consist of any getting any honor or fame, or in gaining any morality, concentration, or any psychic powers. Only that unshakable deliverance of the heart, that is indeed the object of this holy life. That is the essence, and that is the goal. So, Buddha also says that this deliverance of the heart, it can only come through the heart. That is the door. You cannot get it through any action, by putting on the monk's robe, or for begging, or reading the sutras, or being good, or praying for other people. Nothing. You have to cleanse yourself. Therefore, in the love meditation, I experience that love and silence are the same. So delicious. I didn't want to stop melting with the friends and with myself. Sometimes I find myself now on the road of laughter, seeing thoughts and emotions standing hitchhiking by the side, but I don't take them in. In these moments, only compassion for myself and for everybody else, is there, together with a big laughter. The challenges on the outside are not getting less, so I'm always pushed to go inside, finding deeper trust in existence, connecting with my heart stronger, and with you, the diamond of my life. I'm sinking deeper, rising higher, gratefulness and surrender. Yasmin. I'm happy, Yasmin, that again you connect with that. You have to allow yourself to become stabilized in that understanding. That you become unshakable. That was just what Buddha said. That is the sign of a true disciple. Become unshakable, steady in the wind. What is the wind? That is life. Like you say, the challenges on the outside are not getting less. No, they can get even more, and especially for a time. Because you become more aware. But that is also supposed to happen because it's testing you. How strong you are in yourself. But this is the key. Not to get involved in the thoughts or emotions. Don't take them in. That is always the key. Don't get involved. When you have first felt the distance that you don't need to be affected the thoughts, it doesn't mean that the thoughts, the emotion doesn't come. They will come. But you are just more and more disidentified with them. As long as you have a human body, the mind will always go. But of course, the more and more quiet you become, the more and more conscious you become, less. But thoughts will always be there. It's just that they don't affect you. In the beginning, ordinary people are totally affected by their thoughts, their projections. It's very difficult to look at oneself. Impossible. So first is to have a glimpse that you are not the thoughts. And the easiest way is through happiness, joy, love. That is the way of a sannyasin. Now you have felt that. That love and silence are the same. Yes, don't hold on to love, don't hold on to silence. They are two things of the same coin. It's like people talking about different paths. Zen and love, meditation, Rumi, Advaita. They are very different on the surface, but they are exactly the same. So that's why I say, when you go out, be love, be friendly, be good. When you go in, be silent, be peaceful, be quiet. That is the balance, and they are a balance to each other. And the more understanding you get in yourself, the more compassion you have for yourself and everybody else. Understanding oneself means understanding everybody. Beloved Master, is it necessary to be physically alone sometimes? I've been asking myself this question for some years now. Don't wait a few years, Devadasya. Just ask me. That's why you are here. I'm here to clear any doubts, answer any questions. Know what? If you had died, or if I had died, no, in the meantime, no, many years, then you had to come back just to find out. That's why it's so important. Don't sit on anything. Ask it. You have the opportunity to ask now. In one satsang, you were reading Nashima's letter about relationship, and you said that being alone doesn't mean physically alone. Can you share more about this? No, for me, it doesn't mean physically alone. But for most people, that's what it means. Because they only see themselves as the body. So then the body is alone. But that doesn't mean that you are alone, because you have so much stuff inside. So then they try to be alone. And that is natural, because we don't know how to be together, we don't know how to be alone. So when you are alone, you long to be together. When you are together, you long to be alone. That's how it goes. And there's no end to it. The only thing is to find that you can be with yourself. When you can be with yourself peaceful, then you can be with other people peaceful. Otherwise, it will always be a dilemma. Then you will be very relaxed, natural, because you are at peace. You are natural. You are natural with anybody. It doesn't matter if you're alone or together. Otherwise, you don't know yourself, then you have a mask. That mask is false. That's what masks are. Then you're trying to behave in different ways, according to your ideas, how you should be, or what people expect from you. Then it will always be clumsy, because it's not you. The only way is to find that peace in yourself. And that is what is happening. That's why these questions are coming up. Is it necessary to be physically alone sometimes? It depends on you. Like everything, it's the same for every question. It depends where you are in your understanding and your life. For some people, it's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, they will kill each other. Or you are the yogi type, you close the door and don't open the door, then I have to meditate. So that is also stays. It's totally fine, and nothing wrong with it. But you just have to see as it is. When I'm talking about it, like I mentioned, you said that being alone doesn't mean physically alone. No, because for me it doesn't mean physically alone, because I know I am aloneness itself. Everybody is alone. It doesn't matter if I'm with people, or in fact, I enjoy more to be alone than with people, because people are not really alone. They are many. I can just be with one person and maybe it's 20 people there. That is very tiring for me, because I feel if people are alone in themselves, it's fine. It's harmonious. But very few people are. So that's why the mystics always wanted to retreat from the world or from people. Or they love nature. Or their own aloneness. Everybody is alone. So if you realize your own aloneness, then also for the first time you really enjoy being together. Because you know you are alone. Everybody is alone. You appreciate to be together. It's not out of a doing. Because it's out of spontaneity. You are together when you want to be together. But on the path, and including myself, it has been times where it was really necessary to be physically alone. And this is why we have been lost in the outside. So you have been too much lost in the other or in outside things. So coming back to yourself is the same as meditation. Meditation is coming back to yourself, finding your peace, finding your aloneness. And not only finding your aloneness, but enjoying your own self, enjoying your own aloneness, celebrating your own peace. That's what meditation is. But that is in the end. And when that has happened and meditation has flowered, then that flower, that fragrance is with you anywhere. Even meditation disappeared because that was just the path to come back. But before that is integrated, then it can be very, very necessary to be alone. Like meditation is necessary. Because you have been lost in the outside, you need to stop. So it's a balance. Before you have been too much out, no, you have to have the balance, you have to be in. Before you have been lost in the people, which is normal, people get lost with the people. Then you don't, it's much more difficult to have the focus on oneself. So it is maybe necessary. You have to find out. I felt it was, but it wasn't like a doing. It was just, it had to happen. I just wanted to be alone. Because it was so good what was happening. I wanted to go deeper. I didn't want to get disturbed. No, luckily it came to that. Everybody know I don't want to be disturbed. So it's fine. But in the process, it's very difficult. Because you haven't really stood up for it. And you're playing this game. So, to come back to oneself, maybe it's needed. That is what meditation is. That's what I'm giving you a taste of here. Then also you can be together, which is very, very helpful, because you have the support of many, many other humans who also want to find back, to want to have peace, who want to be centered in themselves. And that is supporting you. Without doing anything, because it's an energy field, which normally people are not aware of. First, you have to be aware of your action, what your physical body does. That is the beginning. And hardly anybody is aware of how they move, how they talk, how they behave. Then you have to be aware of your inner thinking, your mind, your emotions, your energy. Then your moods is even bigger. All that has to be understood. Then you become a master of yourself. You are disidentified. It's something, some awareness in you, you start realizing that you can watch yourself. And if you watch yourself, you have a distance to yourself. That's why in the East they say the whole life is like a movie, a lila, a play. So you do it as beautifully as you can, but you don't need to get so identified. This is the difficult thing to talk for me, because it's always been like that. Because you can understand from where you are, but that may be not what I mean from where I am. So I can say that meditation is not necessary at all, but that is for me. But for you is very necessary, because you have to be stabilized in that. You cannot trick it. So for me, I am in my aloneness. Everybody is alone. Then I enjoy my aloneness, and I totally enjoy my aloneness, and I totally enjoy being together. If you don't know, if you're afraid of your aloneness, which for most people become loneliness, because they are just the physical body, then the body feels lonely. I'm so lonely. I'm getting bored. I have to do something. I have to go to the... I have to go to town. We need some action. Let's go to the disco. Let's do something. No, that never happens. Because life is unfolding beautifully. It doesn't really matter what is happening. But on the part, maybe it's very necessary, because you have been lost in the other, in the outside. And I think it is a stage, definitely it was for me, where you feel the pull to be alone. If you have people who understand, or even somebody who are silent, then that can support that aloneness also. Because it's more an energy. Why you want to be alone? Because you want to come back to yourself. You want to feel yourself. Okay, but now we are together. And you are connecting with yourself. So it's not that. It's the mind. It's all the games. It's all the lies. It's all the dramas. That's what is tiring. Not to be together. Is all the falseness. Otherwise, it's just the delight. We should be together. That's how it is. I feel uneasy, self-conscious around people a lot of the time. If I don't take space to be alone, I start to feel sad and stuck in my body. I want to break free. I don't want to be a slave of my surroundings. And I love people, so instead of being uneasy, I wish to share more love. The only way, Devadasya, is to share more love, is to have more love. And the more love you have, then love itself will guide you. That's the beautiful thing. More love, it means no, love is more guiding you. The more love you find, the more it guides you. The more you surrender to truth, to love, to peace, the more it will guide you. If you have no touch with love, with truth, with silence, then totally lost. the more you have, the more easy it is. Because you don't function from your head, you're functioning from your truth, from your heart. Then everything becomes easy. So that is the way. So it is very important to come back to yourself. That is what is important. And most of the time, it is a hinder to be lost in the people. That is, it has to be a balance. Because then you fall into your unconsciousness, because other people are unconscious. Again, it's so important to be with more conscious people. It's very difficult to wake up, even if you have any interest to become conscious. It's very difficult if you are just in unconscious surroundings. Then it's better to be alone, because you can focus on yourself. Because the habit is to get lost. That's what you are saying. I feel uneasy, self-conscious around people a lot of the time. Yeah, because everybody has been teaching us how you should be, how you should behave, how you should act, what you should believe in. And now you have to find out, what is it really my truth? Without being influenced from the outside. That is your challenge. But everybody has the conditioning from their family, from their society, from their religion, from the area, from the country where they come from, which is very, very different from country to country, family to family. And all that has to be gone for you to be free. If I don't take space to be alone, I start to feel sad and stuck in my body. I want to break free. I don't want to be a slave of my surroundings. Great. What is important is that you find yourself, not that you find people. You are here to realize yourself. And you can really only love if you love yourself. So that should be first on the list. Which nobody is teaching you. They say love the other. But you forget yourself. Why not everybody love themselves? That is much harder. Because to love yourself, it means you have to know, be clean. Love cannot love itself if it's not worthy of love. You have to become worthy of love. And then you have to be alone. And that physically alone can be part of it. Or that you retreat. So it's very good that you feel that, because the real longing should be that you feel that you want to break free. You don't want to be a slave of your surroundings. That is what is important. Some people, they always have to have parties and blah 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 and gossip and bleed together, but they never find themselves. They just keep themselves busy. The energy cannot fall back into themselves. So I totally support that longing. That is the most important. And the thing is that the more and more you become friends with yourself and have a natural, simple, spontaneous life, the more and more peace you feel you become, naturally you want to be more quiet. Spontaneously, you don't want to go out so much because it doesn't make sense. But in the beginning it can be very difficult because of your habits. All your girlfriends, your friends, your family is calling you. What's happening with the Devadasya? She doesn't want to come. Then she said, no, I want to be home. Then you feel very good. You should learn to listen to yourself, which is very difficult. This has been changing in me slowly. By being involved in the retreats, kitchen has helped a lot, because there comes a situation where there is no time to be self-conscious. I just have to act. That is so nice. Yes. That's why I also want to keep you busy. It's a great... Just ask Dasi, she's a perfect example. If I don't keep her busy, she would go crazy. So I keep her busy. And she loves it, and it's great, because then it's no mind. People are different. It doesn't matter, it can be opposite, but this is for the same purpose. So, in the Sangha, or out of love, devotion, surrender, then to be busy can be a fantastic help, because you don't need to think yourself. That is what devotion is. Just like you felt here, there is no time to be self-conscious. No, you just do. And you do it out of love. Then there is no you for a personal gain. That is what service is in a spiritual sense. That is what devotion is. You do it for no gain. You just do it out of love. Then something higher takes over. Normally you do things because you want something. No, if you do something because this is your life, is what you choose consciously, is what your love, your heart tells you, then it becomes a service. Then it's not a job anymore. It's a joy. And that's what you say, that it's so nice. Yeah, it's nice. It's nothing is more nice. Another thing is, when I live alone, I manage to be more organized. When I meet people, I get lost somehow and I neglect important things like paying bills or taking time to do things I really like. I become irresponsible, but I feel helpless in this. It's very crazy. It's like I value pleasing others more than pleasing myself. This is the training everybody has. And it's great you're seeing this. It's like valuing pleasing others more than pleasing myself. That's exactly how it is. And that's the game everybody is playing. Because pleasing, then people will like you. Then you have so many goody-goodies and Mother Teresa. And it's just nonsense. It's just because you don't know your own, what you want. You need the other. So when you have taken care of yourself, when you are in a space of this, when you're not self-conscious, when you're just doing things, then this service, this love comes by itself. but exactly what you want to do. If it's out of your heart, if it's out of your understanding. You see, it's your habit, it's your conditioning, it's your ego who wants to be goody-goody. Because then you want people, oh, you're so nice. We like you so much. Your real self, your heart, has no interest in that at all. Because it's so content in itself. You just comfort, you do what you want to do, then it's totally clean. Just to do it, you are so happy. You don't want anything. It doesn't even cross your mind. It's nothing to do with the mind. But that is almost forgotten in the world. And that's what's happening here. That is what's happening with my people. Slowly, slowly, they see that there's another way. Before, Premley was so tired, all the time, so tired. There was hardly anything. I was thinking, what, the poor woman, is he going to die or what? And then, I managed to... Something happened. A shift. And then suddenly more energy than she ever had. It was effortless, just fun. And more ideas coming. It's just a state of your understanding, of your energy. Something clicks. If you do it, you get, oh, it's too much. Some people, oh, it's too much. And especially the Scandinavians, especially the Norwegians. Oh, I'm so tired. I hear, what is wrong with these people? Some people, it's like they're going to help. Oh, we want to help in the booking. Such an easy thing, booking for the retreats, for my master. Oh, but they're so tired, they can't, it's like I'm having this big, she can't lift up the phone, they're that tired, It's totally embarrassing. It's like they are so weak that they can't do anything, they are so spoiled. And so identified with their mind that they think they're making themselves sick. And then the society, of course, you are so rich and everybody is so taken care of. They pay them money. Oh yeah, you poor woman, you are so tired. They have a name for it, don't they? What is that? What is the name? You're a doctor. Come on. What is the name? Huh? What? Chronic tiredness syndrome. chronic tired. Yeah. Then you have to go and get money from the other. What is the name? Huh? M-E or M-A. Mystical assholes or something. Nobody knows where it comes from. But even my people, I've heard, they're doing devotion and, oh, we love to be involved, we do anything. And every retreat, people say, oh, we love, we do anything. Because then they touch something out of their spirit, out of their soul. Then they want to. And then it goes a few months and then, and I said, I can't even receive a booking. It's totally pathetic, but that's the situation. And if sannyasins who are with me cannot make it, who can? That's why sometimes I think I just pack up. Then I also want to be alone. Then it's only me and Devadasa and a few people. We enjoy being alone. Chronic tired. I said, 25 years old, chronic tired. living the best life ever you could find on planet Earth. I'm just it's too much for me to do these bookings. I have to answer the telephone. It's like, Bhai's like, what? What is happening? It's really embarrassing, but this is the truth. And may the truth come out. I want to become more responsible for myself and don't miss the opportunity to live this life. Thank you so much. At your feet, Devadasa. That is the only responsibility anybody really has, as far as I'm concerned, to find yourself. That should be the responsibility. Let that be first. And whatever helps you to do that, go for it. Which is what you are doing. Otherwise, from the society, responsibility is a totally different meaning in the dictionaries. You have to be responsible. You have to be responsible to your parents, to your country, to your religion, to your flag, to your beliefs. You have to be responsible. You have to be responsible to your boss. You have to be responsible. It's a heavy duty. That has nothing to do with responsibility. Responsibility is to be responsible for your own self. Of course, first you have to come in touch with it. And that's the only way to transform. You have to be responsible to listen to yourself, to find yourself. That's the only thing that matters. And when you have found that, everything falls into place. Nobody can corrupt you. Nobody can tell you what to believe or not to believe. Nobody can put any guilt on you because you are clean. You are clear. That doesn't mean that they won't stop. Of course they will. They will blame you a lot that you are not responsible. You are not the responsible daughter. You are not the responsible mother. You are not responsible to your country. You don't even want to go in the army to kill for us. That's how it is. So don't think that anybody is going to understand you. This is their responsibilities in society. This is part of their responsibility. You have to kill for your country. You have to behave like everybody else. You have to be a good son, good mother, good father. Even some places, if you don't go to church, you're in deep shit. You have to pay for your freedom, I tell you. You have to be strong if you're going to make it. So it's much better to be alone. You don't even need to be organized. Just be alone. It's more than enough. Who cares about being organized? I still don't know how I can function in this world. Luckily, I have people around me who still can function and do something. I don't know. I hardly touch money. I have no idea. But people around me maybe know. It is crazy. And what is important things? Important things is to come to be with yourself. That is what is important. Self-awareness, that's what. Because everything that is good come out of awareness. That's what is good. And that's why you are here. And especially with me, I'm going to go on reminding you. yesterday I mentioned Nisargadatta Maharaj, but all the mystics are like that. But he said that I love these people who come for truth, who is longing for freedom. And that is the same for me. I love these people longing for freedom. And he said, I love these people more than my own family. I love these people that I can feel that they really want to look at themselves. They want to understand. I love them more than my own children. And that's how it is. Because it's something higher, you have to be conscious. But out of the society is very irresponsible. Who can say something like that? Only somebody who is free, who speaks the truth. And I totally understand, because that is what I love. Those people who are ready to sacrifice anything. Then I would do anything also. And for lukewarm people, nothing. That's how love is. Like Rumi says, only lovers understand the language of love. There is a spiritual family. There is a heart family.
Ekanka satnam siri wahe guru. Ekanka satnam siri wahe guru.
Siri Wahe Guru, Siri
So from now on, Devadasya just asks, and you are good questions. Some people are around me for many years and they don't ask. Even when they are close to me, they are more hiding. Then they don't get much out of it. I will read you a story of Buddha and the little girl. Buddha comes into a town. The whole town has gathered to listen to him, but he goes on waiting, looking backwards at the road, because a small girl, not more than 12, 13 years old, has met him on the road, and she told him, "Please wait for me. I'm going to give this food to my father at the farm outside the city. But I will be back. Don't forget, please wait for me." Finally, the elders of the town say to Buddha, For who are you waiting? Everybody important in this town is present here. You can start your discourse. We have all been waiting for you. Buddha says, but the person for whom I have come so far is not yet present, and I have to wait. Finally, the girl arrives and she says, I'm a little late, but you kept your promise. I know you would keep the promise. You had to keep the promise because I have been waiting for you since I became aware. Maybe I was just 3-4 years old when I heard your name, when I heard someone talking about you. And just the name, the fragrance of it, something got remembered, something got stirred in me, and something started ringing a bell in my heart. And since then, it has been so long, 10 years maybe, and that's a very long time when I'm only 13 years old. I have been waiting. And Buddha says, you have not been waiting uselessly. You are the person who I have been attracting me to this village. And he speaks, and that girl is the only one who comes to him after. Please, please, Master, initiate me. I've been waiting enough. No, I want to be with you. I don't care about family or this village. Buddha says, you have to be with me because your town is so far off the way where I normally go that I cannot come again and again. The road is so long, and also I'm getting older. In that whole town, not a single person came up to be initiated into meditation, to sannyas. Only that small girl. Everybody just wanted to listen, but not to take the step. In the night, when they were going to sleep, Buddha's chief disciple, Ananda, asked, before you go to sleep, Master, I want to ask you one question. Do you feel a certain pull, some kind of pull towards a certain space, just like a magnetic pull? Buddha said, yes, you are right. That is how it works. And that is how I mostly decide my journey. When I feel that somebody is thirsty, when I feel their heart, so thirsty that without me, there is no way. There is no way for that person. They are only waiting for me. I have to move in that direction. The master moves towards the disciple. The disciple moves towards the master. Sooner or later, they are going to meet. This meeting is not of the body. The meeting is not of the mind. The meeting is of the very heart and soul. As if you suddenly you bring two lamps close to each other, the lamps remain separate, but the flames become one. Between two bodies, when the soul is one, it is very difficult to say that it is a relationship. It is not. But there is no other words. That's why I say language is really poor. I will call it at oneness. That's where the peace, the understanding, the wisdom really dawns in you, in this at oneness. When your mind is quiet and your whole awareness, your heart, your soul is awake, Aum Shanti.
Nanaka ho si vi sach. Good.